Hour two of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Let's get to our headlines, which are brought to you by Doral Kia. Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new models in inventory at the Sported, Sorrento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. The Marlins get back at it tonight. 7:05 is your first pitch from Baltimore as they take on the Orioles. It looks like tomorrow we got Trevor Rogers, former Marlins lefty, will be on the hill against Jansen Junk, which means we got the old the trade-off series, Leroy. Peter Bendix, who, you know, Rogers has been pitching better lately. Last year he stunk when he went to the Orioles and he went down to AAA. But everybody was looking at this and being like, man, he got Kyle Stowers, and even Connor Nobe hasn't even rounded into form yet. And it looked like a big fleece job by old Peter Bendix. But we got ourselves a good old revenge series this weekend. A revenge off between Stowers and Norby versus Trevor Rogers tomorrow.
All right.
And the Fish need to, you know, get back. They lost a couple in a row.
This is the last series before an All-Star break, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then we head in. They'll come out of that, and they got a 6-game homestand out of that with the Royals and Padres in town. So all you Manny Machado fans can go see the hometown kid.
That means there's an afternoon game. Good.
There's a couple afternoon games in there, Vlad. Yeah, there's a 12-10 Wednesday.
That's what I'll be there.
The 23rd. Wednesday the 23rd. If you guys are looking for that. And your Yankees will be in town.
August 1st
through the 3rd.
Yes.
We won't care about that. It'll be preseason by then.
We won't care about preseason.
I don't know. We'll see. Fisher's starting to put it together, Leroy. I'm not dismissing it. Is that the first preseason game? Like, you're going to be in the midst of just shorts and no pads by the first week of August, right?
They only do camp for like a week before preseason starts.
There's only three preseason games.
Yeah, but when's the first?
Yeah,
first
but they do three and then an extra week off.
Let's see.
So the.
By the way, remember,
you want to talk about July sports? Try after the third preseason game, 2 weeks off before the regular season starts.
You got college football. What are we talking about?
You got college football. The Canes, I think, play in August. I think their first game is the 31st.
We're good in August.
All right.
Plus, you know,
and remember, the Dolphins only have one preseason game at home. So their first preseason game is August 10th.
So that will be that Yankee series is just
the weekend before.
That Yankee series is just going to be right in the midst of just practicing. That's all they're going to be doing. Melting. It's going to be heated. But yeah, you don't want to hear Jazz Chisholm coming back, Giancarlo Stanton.
He's an All-Star. He's going to be in the Home Run Derby.
Stanton's an All-Star?
No, Jazz.
Oh, I was getting ready to say.
Stanton didn't play enough, although it did go deep last night.
Played 12 games.
Doesn't matter.
Well, he busted elbows from torpedo bat.
As long as he's ready in the postseason.
He's a great postseason player.
So we need him.
That guy's had some weird injuries.
Oh, he has.
Well, you know, he had the pec thing from doing push-ups on Ariana. What's that lady's name? Lima? Adriana Lima?
I would do push-ups on Adriana Lima, too.
Not on. He was pushing her up.
Whatever, dude. Sorry.
Either way. Whatever.
Sorry. Jeez. Man, the Pinks, they'll be back in action on Saturday. Nashville SC. As they look to, it's just regular old MLS, you know? So we're at no weird tournaments going on. Task at hand. Asante Samuel Jr., after his dad called the Dolphins coach a pushover and called the Dolphins GM spineless.
Wait, Senior said that?
Yeah.
Senior's always got something to say, bro. He went after Prime. Now he's going at, well, I mean,
what did he say about Prime?
You didn't know what he said about Prime?
No.
Oh, he said that Prime is not the best cornerback. You guys are just hoodwinked and bamboozled by the media, and if you look at his numbers and his numbers
hoodwinked
are compared,
and bamboozled.
Yeah, it was a whole big thing. They finally squashed it, but yeah.
Let me explain something to you. This is how great Deion was. He would let the receiver run by, and give the impression to the quarterback that he was open. The quarterback would then throw it because he thought Deion was beat, and Deion would go run and pick it off. Right, like. They ain't people playing games back there like that. I don't know what. Well, why? Like,
all right, you know, here's what happened.
I hate the fact that people feel like they have to say something.
Here's what happened. Deion was, they asked Deion about obviously playing the cornerback position, and Deion, there was a certain technique Deion is not a fan of, and that was the technique that made Asante Samuel Sr. very successful in the league. And it was focused on the T-step. You would know what the T-step is, so it's focused on the T-step. I don't think Deion was a advocate of the T-step stance when defending a receiver, and Asante said that, you know, he lived by it. Anyway, they got into it because of that, and they finally squashed it. But, yeah, it was a thing. It was a thing. Asante said that people are just fooled and delusioned by the media hype of Deion.
But he never called him spineless like he did Chris Greer.
No, he wouldn't call him spineless. But, damn, he called Chris Greer spineless.
Deal.
Jesus.
Here's the deal. Think about this. You know how you know when a player is great? Because you don't talk about technique, right? And I think there are techniques that certain players can benefit from to make them good. That's one of them, right? But the reason why Deion didn't approve of it, because he ain't need it.
It'd be like Wes Welker, like whining about Randy Moss not running perfect routes.
Right. Right, like, look how he comes out of his break. Well, certain guys, in order to be effective in various sports, have to rely on technique. It doesn't diminish your abilities, right? It kind of expands them and makes you better at your job. There's other guys who are just great, where you don't talk about techniques. You don't talk about – I give you a perfect example. Some would think that Jerry Rice was the greatest receiver to ever play. I would say he's almost the greatest football player because the way he prepared, the way he used technique, the way he got in and out of breaks, the way he got off the line of scrimmage – all those things made him great. But Jerry wasn't a guy who you could just line up in front of a guy and say, go beat him, right? There had to be some type of, you know, form, some type of design. And it doesn't take away from Jerry Rice. Whereas Randy, you could just say, go run a 9 route, right? Go run across the field. You didn't have to tell him to jab step up field to get some separation, right? And so while people would say Jerry Rice is a great wide receiver because of the numbers, I would say Jerry Rice might be one of the greatest football players based on all of his preparation and how professional he was at what he did.
So anyway, the Asante Samuel Jr., somebody commented on his Instagram, please go to the Dolphins, even with what your dad said about them. And he liked that comment on Instagram. So.
Yeah, of course he's going to like it. It's almost time. The bank account's looking kind of less right now. Yeah.
He's coming off a neck injury, yeah?
He's a free agent. Yeah.
Work himself. Look, that worked out for the Dolphins once. Remember, they did that with Brent Grimes. Brent Grimes was coming off an Achilles.
Yep.
They got him on the cheap skis, and he had some really good seasons with Miami.
But you also had to take his wife.
But I would say this. Let me just throw this out there. You think the comments by Senior make it more possible for the Dolphins to sign Junior? Or less?
I'd say less.
Right. Why would you go there?
I think it would be one of these things. Well, I mean, if he lives down, he wants to be down here. Like because I remember this happened with Tim Hardaway, right? Tim Hardaway Sr. Not afraid to give his opinion, and Tim Hardaway Sr. Plenty of times was mouthing off about Jason Kidd and the way he played his son, or Luka or all that stuff when he was on the Mavericks. Now, eventually, Tim Hardaway Jr. wasn't on the Mavericks anymore, but he did stay on the Mavericks for a little bit.
Right.
And you always have to come out and be like, "I do. My father does not speak for me." All that type of stuff, you know.
Look, when everything's going great, right? They tolerate you, but it's the times when you struggle that you need that support. And if people outside of your, you know, circle or people that are in your circle are blasting said team, then that probably is not going to lend themselves to be more patient with you. And I think that's why I say, you know, for guys who played in the league and know how it is, it just seems a little odd to me that they would talk about an opportunity for their son, right? Whether it's staying with the Mavericks, whether it's having an opportunity to sign with the Dolphins. Like, you are shortening that the opportunities.
Then you had remember we had LeVar Ball, and then his son ends up on the Lakers with LeBron briefly.
Well, the funny thing about it is that their sons, all of his sons, kind of separated from that. You know what I mean? Like, they you don't too much hear him.
Well, I mean, his health has reasons for that as well, but you know.
Well, he's been.
I think he had his leg amputated, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
That was like over the summer or in the spring, I think. That was a story.
Yeah.
Wow, what happened? But diabetes?
I don't remember exactly why. But I
could have been fat shaming.
But he was already talking bleep when he was in the wheelchair. Because that's how LeVar Ball does it.
Yeah, but it's weird that his kids don't even talk like that.
No, I mean,
you don't want to hear the kids talk. You don't want to hear Melo talk. Melo's got a potty mouth.
They don't. They never really have.
Nobody's got it better in the NBA than LaMelo Ball. He gets to go do whatever he wants, and nobody really seems to care. Like, he has, like, the most fun playing basketball. He's shooting 40-foot threes all the time. Like, he's just playing a different sport than everybody else. Even when he warms up, you're just like, wow, this guy gets to do whatever he wants and just having fun, baby, because it's the Hornets.
That's always been his life. Gets to do whatever he wants. That's great.
And he's got, like, one of the most popular shoes. They're never going to get rid of him. You know? Because who's going to the Hornets? You know? Just living his life. Having a good time.
Well, what ends up happening is then they extend all these guys.
Yeah.
And then other teams trade for them and then realize looter in a riot.
Yeah.
I mean, LaMelo Ball's about as efficient as the three of us on the basketball
court. He gets hurt a lot, too. That's another thing. He's not like his brother. Like, his brother's had the critical injury with the knee. But
isn't there one more?
Well, LiAngelo became a star rapper.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay. A one hit.
Well, he had a big hit. It was a big hit last year.
One hit.
Before that, he was only known for shoplifting.
Yeah, glasses in China.
Yep. Take a break. Back with more for this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, Miami 560 WQAM. We'll tickle Leroy's fancy coming up later on this hour as the Heat getting back into summer league action this afternoon against the Atlanta Hawks. We'll see if Kasparis Jakachonis has a better performance under his belt today after some struggles in the early going for the young Lithuanian.
I would say this is that one of the reasons why summer league is a bit unfair for these kids is that you know when you drafted them what their deficiencies were, right? And they haven't had time to work on them. They haven't had time, you know, to be coached up at all. And so they're being thrust in these situations. And then you're starting to see all of these inefficiencies that you thought they had before the draft. So,
whoa. You okay? So, mighty sneeze.
Consente.
Bless you, dude. Jeez. You got some pepper in your nose or something?
I don't know. So the things that we're seeing with Kasparis, right, are the things that we heard before the draft.
Yeah, the turnover stuff was definitely a storyline. The shooting, Look, he's not this bad a shooter, and I think that's the thing. I think he just needs one to go in, and it's gonna. I think the floodgate's gonna open for him. I think he's pressing a little bit. I was reading some of the quotes from him. I think this is a guy that just like he needs a couple to drop for him, because like you know there's been a. It's not like he's like, you know, hitting the backboard on all of them. I think it's, you know, a couple of rimmed out. He gets a couple to go. I feel like he's gonna have a game where it flows a lot better for him, because I think there's been pockets of the game that have like, it's like, oh, that's so good. But then when one thing goes wrong, it kind of leads to another thing going wrong and just gets sped up on him.
Well, that's all part of being a pro and playing that many games. Right. You know, I think that as time goes on, right. You'll see him starting to get better at certain things. Maybe his shot selection, maybe his form is a little bit. And they work with all that stuff, you know, and that's why they're such, like, unlike other sports, right? Basketball, from usually your first year to your second year, there's a big jump.
Yes.
In how you do things, except for Jaime.
Yeah, that's
weird. But in all the other sports, we talk about sophomore slump. But in basketball, you talk about taking that next step and becoming a professional your second and then third year.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what happens with Jaime this year, because I do think that it's a tough spot, because he doesn't, you know, I think he needs the ball in his hands at times to really flourish, you know, especially when he, you know, gets in the opportunity, like, you know, putting him in a position where he's going to be a catch and shoot guy is a disaster for him. Like, he's just never going to succeed that way.
Doesn't he have the same type of feel as who's the other? Winslow.
Yeah, I see some of that. I think
he has a higher motor, right? He's quicker with the ball, without the ball on the defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the things that they do, as far as handling the ball, getting to the rim, and not being that great a shooter, right? That's a lot of the stuff they have with Winslow.
I think it's a fair comparison on that. I think the biggest difference would be, like, Winslow was a pretty tenacious defender from the start of his career, and so that was always gonna lead to him getting playing time.
Yeah.
And I think Jaime is probably more polished around there. I mean, remember, we used to call him the Fiddler Crab, Justice Winslow, because he blew so many layups.
Goodness.
I mean, he smoked so many bunnies. It was ridiculous.
Right.
Just like, and you were just like, well, what's going on with this?
How you going to be that tall? You only got to jump like 24 inches to touch the rim.
Yeah. Made no sense.
You're right.
Made no sense. And yeah, he definitely wanted that. I think in his mind, if he was a point guard, that would be his most ideal position, but it never cracked. And then by the time he thought it was going to, they got Jimmy Butler, and
training,
you know, it was, right. he got hurt, and then it ended up being one of those things where he got hurt, and then he got traded. He was a Grizzly, and just never found his footing. Never
he was
found
hurt,
his footing.
He was hurt with the Grizzlies a lot.
Yeah. Oh, he was hurt a lot. Like, he's had a lot of injury issues in his career, and he's also talked about, like, you know, he didn't handle injuries well. Like, he's been pretty open about this stuff, like, especially when he was down in Miami. Like, I got hurt. I kind of got in dark places. Like, I didn't feel good. I didn't handle the pressure of being a top pick. You know, and I'm not necessarily saying that's going to happen for Jaime, even though, you know, I know Jaime has been dealing with the mental coach this year, and he's trying to, you know, get that confidence back. Seems like he's trying to work on that, because I do think it was, when I saw him his rookie year, I was like, this kid seems like he's got a real swagger to his game. Like, his footwork right. was beautiful. But when you get put in a position where, like, hey, you need to hit some threes, and you are, I think he's just getting left wide open. It's a bit of a, and he can't hit anything. And I just think it warped him, on top of the fact that he had some injuries and whatever that bubonic plague was in his tummy.
I think one of the things that hurt him is as teams start getting video of you and learn how to defend you, as a basketball player, there's no greater insult than leaving your ass open. Right? Think about it. Wait, You got 505. Everybody talk about defense, and they say they turn their back on you.
That's the worst insult in basketball. Right. When the defender the defender does this to you. That's worse. Like the guy go, man, I'm not even wasting my time.
Because guess
that's
what?
Horrible.
Remember they did that with the point guard Rondo.
Oh yeah,
With the Lakers.
You want to know
and
when he started
making some? They didn't know how to react.
Only in the finals.
But I know they go, oh, we're gonna keep giving you that shot, and he kept making it. So I don't like. But here's the deal. When you're young and you start going through these off seasons and start working on those things, right? Can you become a great shooter? Or is just something about touch and feel that as soon as you start shooting, you're good at it?
I don't know. Like I do think guys can become respectable shooters, but I do think that is anybody gonna turn in from Rondo to Duncan Robinson? No, but I do think even LeBron, look how much he's worked on his 3-point shot.
You could work on your shooting, but you already have to be an okay shooter that just needs a change in his technique or something,
right? Or just work on your range,
right? Because think about it, guys. When you're in high school and you're scoring all the points, you're the man of your team. You're scoring other than dunking and getting layups. You had to shoot some type of jumper at some point.
Yeah, but keep in mind, as you get through the different stages of basketball,
whatever your strength
is. Nobody wants you to shoot the mid-range.
Well, if that's not your strength, they don't want you to focus on your strength. They want you to focus on the strength of your game. So that's why a lot of guys, they might be okay or decent jump shooters, but they're probably better defenders. So then they want them to be the defensive players that, show their athleticism.
Right. Well, that's going to get you on the floor right away.
Right. And then if you have some type of shooter, some type of shot, they'll put your ass in the corner and become P.J. Tucker.
Yeah.
Pelio says, Jaime shoots missiles. Gonzalo mentions a good one. Haywood Heisman's done a lot of work to improve his shot. He's become a pretty respectable shooter.
Yeah, but what got him on the floor was his defense.
Yes, but...
And see what I'm saying? So it's weird because you can get confidence in a certain portion of your game, and that empowers you to do more and expand your game. Whereas if you're put into a game and the thing they ask you to do right away you can't do, that sucks the life out of you.
Man, that is something. Pretty wild. Deshaun says, is Kasper's a bust? Way too soon to say that.
But that's fans. That's fans.
That's way too soon.
Fans, been in the league for – he ain't even been in the league yet. He ain't played a regular season game, and somebody already suggesting he's a bust.
No, he's not a bust.
Check this out. They're prospects. So you see the tools that they have. You try to imagine what those tools can become. And that's why they get graded the way they do. Okay? So what does he have to work on? His jump shot, turnovers. Okay? We knew that before they drafted him. But when you see how he plays, the effort in which he plays, his ability to handle the ball, okay? That's something that, okay, we can build on that. But after, keep in mind, he hasn't had that work yet. That Caron Butler, meet me on the court at 10. We're going to be out here a couple hours every day working on your deficiencies. He hadn't had that yet. He went right from the draft to summer league. So there'll be time where he can get some of these things fixed before camp starts.
100%. We'll take a break here on the show. Tickle Leroy's Funsy. That's next. Ah! It is time, ladies and gentlemen, once he gets back to his chair, to Tickle Leroy's Funsy.
Can't tickle somebody's fancy if their ass ain't there.
Nope. Classic Leroy, Dude, was he already eating? It looked like a roast beef sandwich going down.
That boy's always eating, man.
He is always he's just in the midst of all of it. But we got a busy weekend ahead in the sports landscape. A bunch of different things going on.
But we got fighting tonight.
We do got fighting tonight. I'm excited about it, Vlad. We got Amanda Serrano, Katie Taylor 3.
I like
going on tonight on Netflix.
The Flicks?
Which Good little hey, you guys better do better than you did for that Tyson Paul fight. With
listen, it's going to be good for the big fight, all right, in September.
It better be. It better be.
Yeah,
because otherwise you're gonna have an issue with me. I need smooth broadcast. The thing is, you're Netflix. How can you guys not do it? You got a billion viewers. The Zone can figure it out, and you can't. Sometimes.
All right, hold on. Time out. But Tyson Paul was what, last year or 23?
Yeah. No, it was last year. It was last year.
They did make up for it with the Netflix Christmas games.
That's true.
They'll make
the football went smooth.
The football went smooth. They'll make up for it.
I hope so. I hope so. But no, that's gonna be a great fight tonight. Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor tonight, and then you got Shakur Stevenson.
I can't wait.
Going tomorrow.
And the Bodega champ.
Yep.
Ed Berlanga. Yeah, we call him the Bodega champ. Me and my boys call him the Bodega champ because you know
something, man.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. We'll see if Leroy. We'll start off with that. Leroy.
Yes, sir.
Tonight on Netflix, Amanda Serrano, Katie Taylor, 3. Take your fancy. A little boxing. Great fights. They were great fights. The first two.
What time is it? In the middle of the night?
No.
I mean, it's not like going to be, I don't think it's going to be like at 1 in the morning.
It's going to be like at 10:30, 11 p.m.
Yeah, my fancy's tickled.
My fancy is tickled.
I'm in. Wow. I'll peruse.
I feel like I had to twist your arm for that one.
No, right? You didn't. Sweet no, science. You didn't. I was just thinking, dude, I get up at 4 in the morning on the weekends for golf. So I ain't going to be, you know, around at midnight waiting for a fight to happen.
Well, that's an MSG. I don't think they're going to wait that late. I don't think so. Today at 4:30, Heat Hawks Summer League.
Yeah, I want to see
ESPN2.
My fancy.
I want to see a new guy, and I want to see the new polar bear.
Vlad Golden.
Yeah,
he is new polar bear. Big boy.
Me and Mr. Golden might have to have a conversation.
Why's that?
He's got to change the name. There's only one Vlad in this.
Oh, league. There's only Vlad. Well, he's Vladislav. Vladislav.
So call him Slav.
Call him the Slav?
Yeah. I think Tobin would love to call him the Slav.
I'm going to tell you, at Michigan, they say he was a beast.
Did right. they?
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
Yep.
He's a big boy. He had a good performance last game. I've been impressed, for sure. So we'll see. So you're looking forward to Caspers. You're looking forward to Vlad Golden.
Yeah. I want to see. You know what? I would like to see. If you put Khalil Ware in a situation where he's supposed to dominate, if he dominates.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like, when you know you're up against lesser talent and you just go out there and destroy him.
I think that's everybody's – because I think that's everybody what everybody wants to see from him. Is
right.
just like
It's the demeanor, right? You want to see the demeanor.
Right. The mm-hmm. one thing that I was a little disappointed in is with all that athletic ability, he'd play 25 minutes and have 2 or 3 rebounds.
Yep.
That can't happen if this team need to. If this team going to win, he needs to have like Bam can't out-rebound you playing the same position.
Bam can't out-rebound you from Greece.
Right.
When his ass is on a boat.
Yeah.
You need to get more than 3 rebounds of Bam while he's vacationing.
Right. Like, he should dominate those areas.
Tonight at 7:05. Marlins, Orioles, Edward Cabrera on the hill. Tickle your fancy?
Nope.
Fancy. Why? Tickled.
Come on, it's right before the All-Star weekend. Leroy,
they blow a couple parlays for us and your rats off a ship?
No, that's not true. That's not true. I just, like, I don't know. Baseball is one of those things that I'm a sports guy. So if I'm scrolling through the channels, I have all the channels that play local teams saved, right?
Yep.
So I go to my favorites, and if I'm not watching nothing, right, I'll see, okay, what sports do we have on? We got the Scottish Open. That'll be done, so there'll be no evening golf. Then we have, you know, the fight.
Yep.
You got and then you have the Heat, all right, and then the Marlins.
He's at 4:30, Leroy.
I know, but what I'm saying is that I'll peruse all of them. If the action is you know, if I look at the game and it's like 2-1 filthy, then I'll stay around. But it's baseball.
Yeah, but then, like, when what is the sweet spot? Do they have to, like, if the Marlins were at 500, would you tune in for a July game? Like, what's the level it has to be at for you?
They're at 500. I'm watching almost every game.
Okay, so they're, what, they're this, 9 under?
Is it why they lost 2 in a row?
Yeah, they lost 2 in a row.
Like yeah. 8 under there. Like, yeah,
is that, that has to be a record. A team that has a, what, they have a 7-game winning streak or 8?
Six, maybe.
Foley, they won 8, and then they had an 11-game win. They had an 11-game road win streak.
Okay, so they had an 8-game. You have an 8-game winning streak, and you still currently 9 games under 500.
Yeah, that happens.
I mean, the Heat did it.
I'm saying, what are you talking about?
And how did they end up?
Not great.
Swept in the first round.
Okay.
Okay. But you always say, like, you just want to get in the dance, right?
So you're saying that you got to get back to 500 and you're going to be tickled. Your fancy will be tickled.
I'm saying that if they get to 500, right, I'm going to win the Marlins playing.
What about Sunday when Yuri Perez pitches? He's been pitching awesome. Yeah, Would you be interested in that?
Yeah, I'm in on that. But be careful. That's Big Spoon's birthday. So.
Oh, happy birthday, Big Spoon!
Happy birthday, Big Spoon.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't know. Just tell me what you want.
Oh, come on, man. Put some thought into it.
No, I do. I do. I mean, listen, here. It's not that I'm not going to put any thought into it and do something nice for it, right? But you know what makes people happy?
What?
What they want.
That's true.
Right? Like, if somebody gives me a gift, I'm going to appreciate the gift, even if it's not really my thing, because I appreciate the effort that they put into it. I'm one of those people that I want to get you something that you're going to enjoy. Right? So I don't care if I got to go shopping for it all day.
Lever.
If this is what you want for your birthday, this is what I'm going to get, because I know you'll be happy.
Lever.
Yes.
You know you're dealing with a woman, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. They want you to figure out what they want, even though they don't even know what they want.
Wait, you know, this is my birthday. What you want for your birthday? What you want for Father's Day?
Peace and quiet.
I say, for Father's Day, I want to get a floaty. I want my cooler filled with my favorite drinks. I'm gonna put the drink in the cup holder, and I'm gonna sit out and just float around watching golf on the TV outside.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to leave you alone.
Perfect day.
It pays you nothing to leave you alone.
What can I get you? I say, you know what? Give me a golf shirt. Give me a golf shirt and some UFOs.
We're simple human beings. They're not.
Yeah. And it came out right there. I didn't say, I don't know.
Anyway, stop stressing yourself. Stop. Do yourself a favor. They don't know what they want.
Yeah. Spa day? She into a spa day?
Nah, she like, no. Nah. Mm-hmm. Because here, if I get her a spa day,
she wants you to be involved.
Going
to
be at the house. And that means you got to get one for somebody for her to go with.
Yes.
And now I'm buying 2 birthday gifts.
What about a daughter? What about a snitchy mouse, Big Spoon, spa day?
You see the mother. Yeah, you could kill 2 birds with 1 stone, the mother and daughter one. Bang, bang. Mm-hmm. You get both of them out the house and you get some 3 hours of freedom. Here,
we're spitballing.
I know. We're just spitballing. I don't know if she wants a spa day.
And you're thinking about your 2 ladies like that. Mm-hmm. Even get one for Mima. Boom. You're out. Man, you be the man. That's a hat trick right there.
Yep. Unless Mima wants to watch baseball with you and ask about the Marlins.
Then, yeah. If that happens, you're done.
That seems like a death sentence.
Tomorrow night on DAZN, got another boxing match. Shakur Stevenson and William Cepeda, both undefeated for Stevenson's WBC lightweight title. That's 135 pounds, Leroy. You took your fancy?
No.
Yes.
I think you got to get me to 155. Is that Canelo?
Canelo is 168. That's where the Terrence Crawford fight's taking place.
Okay, there. Once we get to 155, 168, those weight classes. But I have a hard time, Vlad, watching a 125-pound guy being called a badass. I just do.
Leroy, you got I really want to do a Dateline investigation on you. Why you have a thing with size, weight. Something happened to you when you
I don't have – well, one of the things I make – I fat shame because I grew up with that, right? Everybody in my family is big, so they sit around eating all the food they can.
And you can eat, and you're the small, and you're the smallest one. Yeah,
and I'm the smallest one.
Right, so you clumping.
I just – I that's where I get that from.
Yeah, but
it
you
– To me, it don't mean nothing. The way I operate, Vlad, is this. If I'm talking to you enough to make fun of you, that means I like you.
They don't know that.
If I don't like you, I ain't saying nothing to you, nothing about
Leroy,
you.
It's not like
I
you're going
to be bothered with you. Leroy, I know people don't know that.
It's not like you're going up to them like, hey, man, I just like to say I like you, so I'm going to make fun of you. You're fat. It doesn't go like that.
I know it doesn't, but everybody knows, like, me, and I will mess with you, but if I don't mess with you, I don't want nothing to do with you.
I got that.
And guess what? I ain't sensitive if you come back at me.
But you know, it's kind of tough when a former professional athlete is taking shots at your size. It's like, you know, it's a little different. It ain't like you're soft or anything. We've seen you get hit by men 325, you know, 300 pounds.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know.
But you know what, Vlad? Here's the crazy thing. I am nothing close to what you see on a football field. Because I'm bleeps and grins for the most part.
Till you hit a whistle.
No, what'd you think if I ever hit a whistle, I'm gonna put my mouthpiece in and go get my neck rolled?
Yeah, you mentioned when cheering candidate happens.
Go put a helmet on.
Also coming up on Saturday. So the fight doesn't take your fancy. What if I go, speaking of heavyweights?
Wait,
UFC.
Look, Jennifer, Leroy fat shames my teeth. I just said you got some big choppers.
Wow. Damn.
That's not what it.
Jeez.
It's a fact.
Oh, man.
I've said to people they got chicklets. A little bit, you know.
No, you've gone very hard at like Chris Middleton, you know.
Well, he. Listen.
Dirty easy.
White. Let him
he
be.
Could go on the side of the road and sell teeth.
See.
And still have a mouthful.
Come on, man. This is messed up, man.
UFC Nashville fight night on Saturday, Leroy. We got Derek Lewis in a heavyweight main event against Taliesin Teixeira.
Is Derek Lewis the cheeseburger guy?
No, that's Jarrell Miller.
That's the one that sweats, right?
And Derek Lewis is the guy who takes his pants off and says his boys are hot.
That's the one. Yeah, he sweats. That's what I was saying.
He's a destroyer, mm-hmm. right? But what's funny about that dude is he don't look like he have no muscles.
Nope.
Right?
He has not fought in a year. Coming off a win, he's taking on Taliesin Teixeira, who has had a first round finish in all 8 of his MMA fights.
Oh, so this is a good one. So they're trying
to. They're putting him against a 25-year-old 6'7" Brazilian monster, and they're saying gatekeeper. Let's see.
Yeah. Okay. So this is Teixeira's. This is Teixeira's way of making his name. Like, okay, you be a gatekeeper, so now we could start putting you in bigger fights against maybe top 5, top 7 contenders.
Mm. All right.
Take your fancy.
It does now.
Yeah, because I like my boy Derek Lewis. He is just. He is entertaining before and after the fight.
That's true.
I always like gatekeeper fights. I like gatekeeper fights because you want to see.
It's always the old head.
But you want to see that young guy's, okay, you've watched him a couple times. Is he ready to take that next step? Because if he beats him, if you beat Glover in a convincing fashion, now you're going to start putting him in major cards.
Especially pay-per-view. When some of these gatekeepers, they always go the distance. They, you know, very crafty and you can elude them and still win, then you're like, oh, okay, he got something.
Yeah. The Pinks enter Miami, takes on Nashville SC Saturday night. Take your fancy.
Look, I'm gonna be honest with you. I will check on the score.
Mm-hmm.
I might even peek in at the game.
Fancy not tickled.
Not really.
Finally, Leroy, Sunday at 7:30, the Heat back in summer league action against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tickle your fancy?
7:30 Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll watch that. Right. Yeah.
My there fancy is tickled.
Previewing, of course, the Love Island finale.
No. Like, you know. Now, don't even play with me with that.
I know. It's a waste of time.
Yes.
Is your fancy tickled by the Superman movie?
Like, the thing with the Superman movies, like, especially when they do the first one over, you basically know the whole plot. It's just a matter of how the director...
Did they make it look cool?
...puts it together, right, how his interpretation is a little bit different than all the other guys. But the first Superman movie, you have seen the same movie 4 or 5 times with all the different Supermans from the beginning to now.
Saying this is not an origin story.
Right, right.
So this is his version.
It's just, well, it's the same story, but done how he, what is his twist going to be on it as far as the relationships, how Superman is navigating through everything. You know, the previews.
Wait a minute.
It looks different.
So how you going to not, you know who's directing this, right?
The dude that did, what did he do? Did he
Guardians of the Galaxy? Yeah, you love those movies.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not going to give him the BOD?
Is Groot in it?
The benefit of the doubt?
No, I am. I'm just saying that it's hard sometimes to be that excited about a movie when you already know how it's going to play out. Like, I remember Batman versus Superman, you had no idea how that was going to play out. And like, so it made it interesting.
That is Tickle My Fancy. We'll take a break. Third hour coming on up. Back after this.